Do not lift or tilt the head backward. Do not point your lead pipe or mouthpiece stem downward. Either of the above or a combination of both will result in an extremely receded jaw position. When tonguing, don't push the tip of the tongue through both lips. This action causes consecutive lip separation, which must be overcome by excessive mouthpiece arm pressure. Avoid wearing tight or restricting clothing, especially in the area of the neck, shoulders, and abdomen. Always find time to practice the pencil exercise and also the air-to-nose exercise without the pencil. I'd suggest doing them before retiring. These, of course, are done without the instrument. It helps develop the playing formation plus the identity of the position. Conscious awareness must be present at all times, even when playing automatically. Listen carefully to your sound, for its characteristics are the keys to solving your problems. A choked, pinched, raspy, crackling sound is the result of a combination of factors. Excessive arm pressure against lips already touching and closed, bottom teeth blocking air column to lips, causing a backup of air in the oral cavity, putting undue strain on the whole embouchure musculature. If a tone is dull and funky, the top lip is receiving too much playing weight. This will be demonstrated very soon. Bring the jaw forward to absorb 60% of the weight. If the teeth edges are parallel, then the angle of the lead pipe should be lowered. Usually a half inch will suffice, or until the sound improves. If the sound is strained and hard to maintain, the cause may be a faulty lip formation at the time of the mouthpiece placement. Most often, lips are a little too unrolled, thus preventing the two lips from contracting in the direction of each other. Invert the lips a degree more. Just don't use the center of the bottom lip to push the top lip up and out of alignment. Once this is done, there is no way you can bring the top lip down into its playing formation. So remember that. Don't squeeze the center of the two lips. You work from the corner to the centers. Another point, if the tone is strained and hard to maintain, the cause may be the mouthpiece pinning the lips apart while taking a breath. The mouthpiece should back off during the breath, and lips should be together before the release of air. The tension will be predicated on your intent. What area do you intend to come in? The formation must still permit the air to get through so that you can then make a transition from that formation into a playing tension. If you are struggling to hang on to a tone and can't ascend, the mouthpiece may have pinned one or both lips parallel to their related teeth edges, resulting in extreme arm and mouthpiece pressure. The physical law requires that the reed and facing touch in order for the top lip to vibrate. Yet, at the same time, the air column must be permitted to displace itself in equal ratio to the vibrations. I'd like to read one short article by William N. Costello. This was written in the 30s, and I think it's an important article, otherwise I wouldn't bother reading it. It's also in my book. The majority of players find it necessary and should devote considerable thought to lip development. True, there are a select few who, due to the position of the jaw, shape of teeth, lips, etc., naturally play upon the correct formation. For them, the development is simple, but for the others, development is gradual, and a certain amount of practice every day must be applied for its perfection. The favorable point is correct lip formation and phenomenal embouchure results can be acquired and mastered by all. It is the foundation to all successful playing and must not be neglected. If you naturally play on a low register formation, which means open lips and generally blowing downward, you are in no position to immediately apply the new and correct technique. Time and patience are required in making the necessary changes and stabilizing them to the point of dependability or to the point where you can reliably use them for all playing. In bringing about the change, a particular difficulty is experienced. Usually, the student permits the jaw to fall backward to its old position, especially in the upper register. The lower lip, then, is left without a firm background, and the mouthpiece pressure falls entirely on the upper lip. In order to correct this, the jaw must follow and support the lower lip, particularly when the head is lowered and the horn tilted upward. Before the embouchure is stabilized, the low notes may cause some trouble. Therefore, for a time, it may be advisable to play these lower tones on the old formation. Then, in ascending to the upper register, gradually tilt the horn upward, protrude the jaw slightly, roll the red flesh inward over the edge of the teeth, and thus assume the correct formation. Naturally, a complete change is best, but with professionals and advanced players, due to the nature of their work, it may be more convenient to accomplish the same phenomenal results through a gradual acquisition of the technique. In studying the technique, use some effort to solve a few of your own personal problems, experiment, and apply your common sense. Each exercise has its purpose. Therefore, devote sufficient time to its accomplishment before proceeding to the next. Most problems can be overcome by the individual if he would but make the proper attempt and permit himself to become interested. Don't be the fellow who must be told everything. Instead, read, study, and apply. Invest conscientiously in your own future. Sincerely yours, William N. Costello. You will have received a drawing of the palm exercise, which is technically, I would call, the root of the total technique. Now, the purpose of these statics and vibrations is to create the proper lip contraction or grip necessary to play in the upper register. It must be accomplished in order to continue successfully with the total technique. The illustration shows that you lay the instrument flat upon the palm of the left hand with the fingers extended in such a way that with any excessive pressure it will slide off. That means control the forearm. Bring it in until the point of sliding. Then control the arm and leave that weight exist. In other words, we will make that weight a constant. Then, close your lips gently, tongue stop your position, and establish the teeth aperture about 1/4 inch and bring the jaw forward until the bottom teeth edges are parallel or slightly forward of the top teeth edges. Invert both lips evenly in the direction of each other, the sides parallel. Do not allow either lip to overlap the other. Lock the corners gently in their position. Protect the alignment by studying and doing this in front of a mirror. Do not pull the corners back and up or perform any other action that may contribute to any thinning of the lips. When this lip or playing formation is made, place the mouthpiece preferably a little less than half on the upper and a little more than half on the lower lip, and you are ready for the static tones. Instrument is laying flat upon the palm of the hand. Try to avoid gripping the casing or any other part of the instrument. The thumb against the bell of the horn will be sufficient. The weight of the mouthpiece on the lips during the palm exercise is more than enough to isolate the vibrating area and facing from the rest of the two lips. Direct the breath toward the upper part of the mouthpiece, that is, blow up. If you naturally blow down, it will be necessary to overcome the tendency as a matter of habit and comfort, and to keep the jaw from receding into its normal underbite state of rest position. Now, when we talk about blowing up, we are just muscularly bringing the top center of the top lip down to try and meet the center of the bottom lip. You don't push the center of the bottom lip up to close the center. Remember, we work from the corners to the center. And in blowing up, what we are doing is creating a scissor action from the corners to the center. Muscularly, it is correct. It will discipline the position and hold the alignment, and the sound must come in and it must climb. Now, I'm going to demonstrate on the horn, since I haven't played at all, this is going to be my very first tones of the day. I haven't warmed up, and I deliberately avoided any attempt at playing until I got to this point on the tapes. So this is how it will sound. It won't be pretty, and it'll be kind of ugly, but you must recognize the fact that we're training a position to stay. So I will tongue stop my teeth edges. I will line my lips up. The head is straight. The horn and lead pipe, primarily the lead pipe, is parallel to the floor. Don't raise the bell higher. Don't tilt the head back because the teeth won't stay. We want a head straight and a jaw position established as we spoke, a fraction past the top lip or parallel. Mine will be a fraction past the top teeth edges. I am now setting up with a tongue stop, lip alignment, and I will start my first tones of the day. Now, you will notice that they improved by modifying the grip. Muscles 9 were decreased, which allowed the center of the two lips to proportionately unroll. In other words, I didn't unroll deliberately. I controlled this process by decreasing the grip in the muscles below the corners, number 9. The less attention permitted me to come in a little slower. I built the air column and then muscularly contracted. In other words, I actually imitated the pencil exercise, because when you do the pencil exercise, you're supposed to blow easy at first, build a force, and muscularly hold the position. It's good to think of aiming up, but you don't take the center of the bottom lip and push it up, because this will proportionally push the top lip up above the top teeth edges. When this happens, there is no way in the world you can bring the top center of the lip down. Now, when we talk bringing it down, what we want is to keep it in the original alignment position. But the tendency to raise the mouthpiece, to bring the arm in and push the mouthpiece up, the tendency to recede the jaw and change the angle of the horn, which will be pointing down, and then the arm pressure brings the horn in at that angle, which again pushes the lip up. And remember, it is resting on the bottom lip also. Even if it is not getting the main weight, it will push up both lips. Now we have a problem, and it will not work well. In dealing with the palm exercise, I would suggest that you, as the player, work this every day for a week, possibly 2 weeks. You must condition the position of the lips to stay and the jaw to stay. Now, when you are blowing, if you detect the weight shifting to the top lip, don't drop your bell and chase it. Keep the horn parallel to the floor, adjust the jaw to the mouthpiece. If it gets sticky, scratchy, check your teeth aperture. Relax, stop blowing, set the teeth opening with the tip of your tongue by directing the tip of the tongue to the edge of the bottom teeth. This is very important. And right past the tip, you will make contact to the top edges. You must educate the tongue to tell you, it's like a third eye, that the teeth aperture is about the same opening as the pencil. Then bring the center of the bottom lip towards your teeth. This will help bring the top sides down, and then release your air column into the position again. Your purpose is to match the force with the intent to resist the force. Now, I'm going to skip a little bit by not staying on the palm exercise that long. I did enough to demonstrate, and I don't want to waste the tape. I'm going to do a few climbs on the palm, and then I'm going to start clearing up the tones. And I will explain everything I do again. Now, that was a series I did. I start on the tonic C, slurred up, caught all the tones possible. Then I went chromatically down. I went to a B, which allowed me to reduce the grip a degree. Now, we're dealing with hair, so it's not a collapse of any kind. It just means you cut the grip down a degree. You logically know you're coming in at half tone lower. You're not going to overdo the grip. So to allow these sounds to get fatter, you work your way down chromatically and you slur up to the octaves. Now, I went down to F sharp, then went back to 1 and 3, slurred my way up to G, A flat A, B flat B, double C, and I now have gone the cycle. Now, when the tones get good, you must start paying attention to the starting tension, the one that lets the air through, what force it took to produce the tone, and what was the muscular adjustment to match the force, and then how much force did you build so that the chops or your lips will react to this force and take your tones all the way up. So you do this type of an exercise after you have developed some kind of ability to hold and get those statics. Never mind how rotten they sound. They're not going to sound good. They're going to be scratchy. You'll be squeezing the centers. You may be moving the teeth, closing it, and you may be leaning wrong on your lips. And so these are the things that have to be straightened out. Eventually, you'll be a total master over the whole thing.